anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen. The following is an interview with Ashley Eckstein recorded on the show floor at New York City Comic Con in 2011. But don't let the age of the interview deter you. This is one of our most popular episodes, and for good reason. Ashley, the voice of Ahsoka Tano from Star Wars The Clone Wars, and the creator of Her Universe, tells a lot of really interesting stories and offers very good advice, in addition to talking about how she was a tomboy and loved Star Wars and fantasy as a little girl. Ashley talked about her audition process for Ahsoka, and how she almost didn't go to it, and how she was sure she wouldn't get the part. If you're new to Anomaly, welcome. We hope you stick around. If you like this episode, you'll love the rest of our show. Without further ado, here's that interview with Ashley Eckstein.
So Star Wars, the Clone Wars just started its third season. And can you give us any spoilers? Or fourth season, actually.
Fourth season, yeah. Yes. Well, it's called Battle Lines, mm-hmm. and that's the theme of the season. Because it takes you right into the heart of the battle. I mean, it's the Clone Wars. Battles are happening daily. And it's the battles are just epic. There's a lot of action and adventure in this season. My character, Ahsoka, who's Anakin Skywalker's Padawan, really continues to mature and grow up. And for those fans out there that were intrigued by the new character Lux Bonteri last year, he's coming back. So Ahsoka's going to interact with Lux again in this season.
I'm so excited. Her Universe, this started how many years ago now?
We launched in June of 2010, so we've been around about year and a half.
It seems like so much longer, just from shopping.
It feels like a lot longer, but it's probably because I've had the idea for about 4 years now, and it took a while to get up off the ground. You know, a lot of people said no at first because they said that women just would not buy sci-fi merchandise made for them. And I said, you're crazy. Close to half of all sci-fi fans are women. 85% of all consumer purchases are made by women. So why aren't you giving us something to buy? The numbers just weren't adding up. So it took a while, but eventually Lucasfilm, they've been so supportive and agreed to let me do the line.
That's awesome. And you started just with Star Wars, and now sci-fi is in on it.
Yeah, the Sci-Fi Channel and their properties. So we're doing Battlestar Galactica, Warehouse 13, Sharktopus, sci-fi rave movies. and we actually just got approved for another license that I can't say, but I'm really excited about.
That's awesome. I have to tell you that the Cylon spine shirt is one of my favorite things in the world.
Oh,
I picked it up at Dragon Con. And
You have it.
Yes. Like in my weekly rotation.
That's awesome.
Did you grow up a sci-fi fan? Were you always into this crowd?
I definitely. I mean, I was introduced to Star Wars when I was a little girl. I mean, I was so young, I don't even remember the first time I watched it. I just have memories of playing Star Wars, you know, in our living room. And I was always into fantasy. I mean, my brother and I watched the Hobbit cartoons when we were little. We loved the movie The Neverending Story.
Oh, absolutely.
And then I got out of it a little bit because I got really into acting. That was my main focus. I can kind of get tunnel vision. But then I was cast as Ahsoka, and it just reintroduced me to the whole genre, and I just fell in love with Star Wars all over again. It's just something that I've always been attracted to.
Did you experience any kind of bullying or anything like that growing up?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I experienced it just overall, not even just sci-fi, but just my personality in general, because I was a tomboy. In my preschool pictures, I refused to wear a dress or anything too early. I was really into the Karate Kid and wore my Karate Kid uniform for my school pictures. Headband.
That's awesome.
So you see like the pose with the little apple and then me as the karate kid. And my mother was probably 4 or 5. But so of course kids made fun of me all the time because I wasn't the norm. I ran with the boys rather than playing My Little Ponies with the girls.
Right.
And then of course even now, I mean, I encounter it all the time because I'm constantly I'm constantly wearing my Star Wars merchandise or sci-fi merchandise, and people look at you weird. They're like, Star Wars? Do you go to those weird conventions and stuff? And I mean, I just fight back, and I'm like, have you actually tried one? It's a lot of fun, actually.
That's amazing.
And I think as adults, we've been through the bullying and we've come out on the other side, mm-hmm. that I encourage everyone at Her Universe, because we have a lot of young girls that follow us as well, that we can actually be role models to these girls, mm-hmm. and show them that it's okay to be a grown woman and love sci-fi as much as
totally.
We do. And when they see that there's other girls like them, because sometimes they feel like they're the only one, mm-hmm. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, I definitely have a 4th grade school picture where I'm in a giant Marvin the Marvin t-shirt.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
So, I've been there. And it seems like the last few years, especially, there have been just a huge boom in the presence of women in sci-fi, both as characters and as fandom. Do you think that is because of the internet, or do you think something has changed in the genre that has brought all of these women out of the woodwork?
You know, that's a good question. I think that it's definitely changed because of the internet, because girls, they're finding other girls that like the same things. They're interacting with each other. Also, it's become a part of, you know, pop culture. I mean, The Big Bang Theory, one of those popular shows on television, you know, has a huge part in it. This sounds so cliche, but, you know, it is chic to be geek.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. But just like on our site alone, it's a couple girls met on our blog, and they're young, they're in high school, but it started just a couple. Now it's grown to over 70 girls.
Wow.
And because they all met online, and several of them, in the beginning, they said they thought they were the only one. They didn't know that there were other girls out there that had similar interests. So I think, I say united we stand, divided we fall. The more we come together, come out and say, hey, I'm a girl and I like sci-fi.
Yeah.
Also with roles like Ahsoka, where it's showing girls, hey, that's a girl Jedi, and she kicks butt, and she's awesome. That's helped out a lot, because I've seen a lot more little girls here than I would have in the past that are fans of Ahsoka.
Absolutely. I know you grew up as a Disney nerd from some other interviews.
True.
I was just at the parks 2 weeks ago for Wine and Dine Half Marathon. And
my brother-in-law ran that.
It's amazing.
Oh my gosh, you ran it?
I was cheering. I was cheer squad.
That's amazing.
But we were in studios, you know, a day later, and whoever was running the Star Wars show called up a little girl and said, oh, look, a female Jedi. And I'm like, this should not be a strange thing or something to be pointed out at all.
You know what? I'm surprised that was said after Star Wars weekends and everything. I mean, look, you have Ahsoka, you have Ventress, which obviously she's on the dark side, but she's still a kick-butt character. But Aayla Secura, Luminara and Julie, Barriss Offee, I mean, I could go on.
Right.
And it's become common. You know, I'm going to say something next time I'm there.
So, I have heard also that you have an interesting story about your audition process.
I almost didn't go to the audition, and I'm usually a very positive person, but my agent called and he said, you have an audition for Padme, and you have to sound like Natalie Portman. And for some reason, I just couldn't get her voice. Mm. And I told my agent, I was like, look, I just really am not right for this. I just don't know if I'm the best person for this. And he said, no, you should go anyway. Well, I'm so glad I did, because the first line out of my mouth, they stopped me, and sure enough, they said, no, you sound too young for Padme, you don't sound right. However, we have this new character, and she's a 14-year-old girl, and we think you might be right for her, but they wanted her to have an accent, and they wanted her to have, like, an Icelandic accent, which I was awful at. Just literally, like, I bombed my audition. Somehow, I got a call back.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a dialect coach and, like, mastered the Icelandic accent. So I go back and do it in one take, and they stop me and they say, no, that's not quite right. We want an Icelandic accent. And I was like, So normally I never talk back. And I raised my hand to Dave Filoni and I said, I'm sorry, but I am doing an Icelandic accent. So I don't know what you want. And then I was like being very animated because I was getting really upset with myself because I'm a perfectionist that I couldn't do what they wanted to do. And I was getting more and more angry. And so I left the audition because I never quite gave them what they wanted.
Uh-huh.
And I told my husband, I said, there's no way I'm not going to get this role. I find out like a month later, I got the role. And I come in for the first day of work, and Dave said, he goes, I want you to use your own voice. And he goes, and actually, you really got the part because of your actions in between takes. We thought that your natural, like, body movements and tone of your voice was what we wanted for Ahsoka, because she, you know, is trying so hard to prove herself,
mm-hmm.
That we want that same kind of tone that you brought in the audition to the character. So I lucked out. I got to use my own voice and even got to bring a little bit of my own personality to her.
That's great. So then did they use any of your mannerisms when you're recording to, I guess, inform Ahsoka when she's drawn?
Well, the entire first season, what they did with me and some of the other characters, mm-hmm. they recorded our faces, videotaped them, and then they sent them over to the animators in Singapore. And they did add, like, some of our own facial expressions to the characters.
Okay.
So my husband has even joked. Like, he'll see an expression on Ahsoka, and he'll say, oh, I've seen that expression before. So I do think there's a little bit of that, but she was not drawn to look like me at all. I mean, she was actually designed before I was cast.
That's really interesting. And she, I know, has become a great role model for young girls or even women who are struggling with fandom or struggling just because they're different. I mean, that has to be strange for you. Was it weird?
Well, it was funny because I had just come off of the Disney show That's So Raven, and I fell in love with children's programming because mm-hmm. I realized the power of children's programming, that kids, they how much they love it and how much they look up to those characters. And so when I was cast in this, I realized, oh, geez, this is a big responsibility because mm-hmm. girls are going to look up to that character. And even though I'm just the voice of her, I can't let these kids down. I can't let these fans down. And it's something I take very seriously because it was a huge honor to be cast as this. So I'm not going to let Lucasfilm down. I'm not going to let the fans down. And, you know, she's been an inspiration to me because what I love about Ahsoka is she's far from the dark side. She's spontaneous like Anakin, but she's far from the dark side. And she tries to do what's right at all costs. She tries to be the best Jedi she can possibly be. And I like that. I mean, I know it sounds cheesy, but I think of Ahsoka and it's like, well, what's the Jedi way? What is the right thing to do here?
Right.
And that's what I take from it.
Do you talk to, or I guess to little girls and or even little boys, come up and say things to you at conventions or Star Wars weekends about Ahsoka?
They do. And it's funny. I started doing this with the kids, and it's true. You know, I always ask the kids, how's school going? Mm-hmm. You know, because that was always stressed with me. I always loved acting, but my parents always said, all the acting will end if you don't get good grades. And so I always ask the kids, you know, how do you like your teachers? How's school? And, if they say, oh, it's okay, I say, well, think of it like the Jedi Temple. You know, Ahsoka had to train hard, study hard in the Jedi Temple before she could be Anakin's Padawan and before she could get out on the battlefield. So when you get tired at school, think of it as the Jedi Temple. And it's funny, they look at it differently after that. You can see, well, I don't know the long term, but at that moment, their eyes get big and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to think of it like the Jedi Temple. So it's funny to see their reactions.
So you're not only promoting confidence, but education. That's amazing.
To me, that's important.
Yeah.
It's important to me, and it's important to my husband. You know, he was a baseball player, and same thing. I mean, his parents always said, you don't do well in school, you're not going to be out on the ball field. And I think that's what I want to tell kids today is, obviously, yeah, I mean, there's so many cool careers, especially in this field, in the sci-fi field, but, you know, you gotta get through school, you gotta do well, you gotta study hard, because that's how you're gonna make it all possible.
You hear that a lot, I think, when talking or even reading things from people who've succeeded in what they wanted to do, is that they worked hard at school and that came first.
Yeah, so. And you know what, I just wrote a blog post about this, because there were some shirts that came out for girls.
Yeah.
There was one shirt that said allergic to algebra, and that was frustrating to me, because here's the thing, math did not come easy to me. It was quite difficult. I got good grades in it, but I had to work my butt off. And do I really use algebra today? Not at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I use, obviously, accounting and budgeting and all of that, but for the most part, I don't use algebra. And I said, but we can't tell girls, we can't give these girls an excuse to say,
absolutely,
it's okay, you're not good at it. Because what I got from algebra was discipline. I got a sense of accomplishment. Like, if I can get an A in algebra, what else can I do? The sense of accomplishment that I got at the end of the day was such a strong lesson that I took with me to other things. So it actually went beyond math. And
absolutely,
that's the message we should be sending. You know, just even if they don't use algebra, you can use, there's so many other lessons learned.
It's funny you bring it up. My bachelor's degree is actually in math. So I was particularly bothered by those shirts because math teaches you so much more than how to answer a problem.
Exactly.
It's saying it's okay to not care about it is bothersome. And especially if it's targeted to a certain percentage of the population. Because you're not going to find those shirts for boys.
No, you're not. And I was showing them to my husband, and he said, no, that would never, you would never find that in the boys section. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I thought we were past that. I was shocked to see those shirts. It just goes to show we got to continue to speak up about it. Both JCPenney, both Forever 21 pulled the shirts right away.
Yep.
And, you know, let's just start making smart shirts for smart girls.
Absolutely.
Girls are smart. And the confidence, I don't know. I get so much more confidence from being smart and doing something smart. Like, I feel accomplished versus just looking cute for a day.
Have you thought about, for her universe, doing general geek shirts rather than licensed ones in that sense?
Well, it's funny you bring that up because we're definitely doing her universe branded shirts next year.
Oh, that's awesome. And everything's at heruniverse.com?
Yes, everything's at heruniverse.com. And
I thought I saw some of the stuff now on ThinkGeek. Is that?
Yes, our Red Spine shirt was just picked up by ThinkGeek.
That's fantastic.
And hopefully more soon. I mean, that's our goal for 2012, is just to expand and get out into the retail market.
Awesome. So I have just one more question for you, which is, if you had a megaphone that could reach every geek girl in the world, what would you say to them?
Wow. I would say, equals a dangerous combination in a good way. You can do anything. It's almost like you can have superpowers if you combine confidence and passion. So if you're passionate about something, be confident about it, and it's a very attractive quality. Just find what you love and be confident and passionate, and it'll take you far.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Wasn't that a great interview? Thank you so much, Sue, for going through the trouble to record that, and a special thanks to Ashley for taking the time to talk to us. I started the Anomaly podcast with my best friend Angela over 10 years ago, and we have talked about everything geeky under the sun, from Star Wars and Star Trek to Doctor Who and movies and Comic-Con and cosplay, you name it, we've talked about it. So if you like this episode, chances are you'll like the rest of our show. So give us a try and subscribe. We release monthly right now, and you can find us at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. If you're streaming this episode through our website, you can go up to the top of the website, to the menu, and find the subscribe button. Roll over that and click on podcasts, and it'll provide you with a list of several places where we're available, including our RSS feed address that you can just copy and paste into your app. If you want to get in contact with us, you can do that by commenting in the show notes for this episode over at anomalypodcast.com or through the contact page there at the website. Or you can email us directly at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you'll come back again, and may the force be with you.